Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
And Luke chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 8. If you have your phone, you can click to it. Your iPad, you can swoop to it, whatever. Just find Luke 8. We're going to be reading verses 41 to 48. We're in a series right now about miracles. We're on called The Miraculous. And I have a statement that I say every week, and I want to say it again because I think it is encouraging and I think it rings true and is truth that sets us free. And it's this: if you have a problem, you're a candidate for a miracle. If you have a problem, you're a candidate for a miracle. Now, last week, while you're finding Luke 8, we talked about perspective and that Jesus in Mark chapter 8 gave a man not just his sight, but Jesus gave him perspective. And we talked about how sometimes you can look at a situation and think you see it all and think you understand it all, but then all of a sudden you see it in a different light. Something happens and you see it from a different angle and you realize that it wasn't what you thought. Perspective is so important. We talked about three areas in our lives that sometimes we as believers, while we'll never say it, we'd never come out and say, I think God can be this. We'd never say it out loud, but sometimes we think it because our actions say it. But we talked about three areas that we might see God that we may be wrong in. And one was this: God is not boring. God is not boring. People who think God is boring tend to think that God is boring because God is holy, and holy sounds boring. But we really looked at what God loves to do last week. We said also that God is not distant. And anytime that you try to do life your way, it's going to feel like God is far away. Follow him. We also talked about God is not angry. And I gave you this equation: A plus B equals C. A is God is love. B is God is everywhere. And so God is love plus God is everywhere equals God's love is everywhere. And I gave you this: everywhere that you think or expect God's anger to be, his love already is. And so there's a lot of freedom that we should have in coming to the altars. There's a lot of freedom that we should have in coming to Jesus and in our weeks with our needs, with our burdens, with our cares. If there's areas that we've stumbled or fallen, to be able to come and say, Father, forgive me. We don't have to come in trembling and scared to death that God's going to zap you, because God loves you. God is for you. And God is with you. The blind man in Mark chapter 8 not only had his sight restored, but he saw clearly, and he saw Jesus clearly. And when you see Jesus clearly, that just changes everything. Before, he was looking at people, and he wasn't looking at Jesus. But when he set his eyes on Jesus, and I said that time, you kind of pull your face close, and Jesus is like, look to me. Stop looking to everybody else. Stop looking to self-help books. Stop looking to your Joyce Meyer's email devotion. Talk to me. It's amazing what happens, because the way that you see God determines the way that you see everything in your life. Amen? All right. This morning I'm going to talk to you about what is in a touch. What is in a touch? And one of the things that I want to say this morning is that the miraculous is part and a sign of the kingdom of God. That when there is a miracle, when we experience a miracle, be it big, be it small, and to me, I think every miracle is big. Because anytime God intervenes, anytime that God steps in and he takes over a situation, I think that's a pretty big deal. And anytime that there is a miracle, it is a sign that the kingdom of God is there. And if you remember in Luke chapter 5, when the friends of the lame men brought their friend to Jesus, they couldn't get into the house, so they did the only thing that made sense: let's go up on the roof and tear a hole. Can you imagine being that homeowner? You'd be like, I'm glad Jesus is here because I'm going to kill somebody. They tore a hole in the roof. They lower him down. And Jesus looks at this man and all the work that his friends have gone through. And he says, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees and the scribes and everybody there get enraged. They're like, who is this man that he thinks he can forgive sins? He's just a man. And I love this. Jesus perceives what they're thinking. He perceives what's going on, and he just addresses it. And he says this: which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk? But so that you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth, take up your bed and walk. You see, in that sense, the kingdom of God and the miraculous are joined together. Everywhere there's a miracle, the kingdom of God is there. So every sign and every wonder that Jesus did on earth, that he did, it shows us that he's on the throne. Aren't you glad that he's on the throne today? Aren't you glad that he's not trying to kind of get just top three? He's there. He's arrived. He's the champ. No one's taking his belt. Y'all with me? All right. He's still there and he's still working in the lives of people today. All right. So let's look to Luke 8, 41 to 48. And it says this: when a man named Jairus, the leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. And as Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. And a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied. And Peter said, "Master, the whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of them. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. And he says this: "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, take your word and drive it deep into our hearts. Let it be seed that takes root and grows in us that we may bear fruit with our lives at last. Thank you for loving us in your name. Amen and amen. Touches can be powerful things. I remember my very first kiss with my wife. Now, I'm not a guy to kiss and tell, but it was awesome. Touches are powerful things. I remember as a young boy, the first time that I was praying, and I really felt like God just kind of spoke to me. Like God, I mean, like there's God and God's in church. And when you're young, you're growing up and God's in church and people, oh, the Lord says, and you kind of go, okay, that must be what God is saying. But when you really feel like God just kind of says, Wes, I want you to listen to me. I remember that first touch. Never forget it. I remember one time I was installing a ceiling fan in our house, and I had turned off the breaker, and I was up, and you know, of course, why do you need a ladder? There was a bed there, so I slid the bed over, and I'm standing on the bed, and I'm trying to put this thing in. I'm working on the wires, and I said, you know what? I need caps. I didn't get caps, so I run to Home Depot to get caps. Well, apparently, while I was out at Home Depot getting caps, my wife decided to try to kill me, and she needed something upstairs and went upstairs, and the lights weren't working, so she went down and flipped the breaker on and got, I don't know, it was something really important like hairspray or, I don't know. What was it? Do you remember? A toaster. Yeah, that's what it was. And so I come home, and all the lights are off because she turned the lights off when she left, and I get back on the bed, and I'm like, I'm putting this thing in, all of a sudden, wow! I mean, it just, man, it lit me up. It lit me up, and it just hit me, and it jolted me, and I went to step back, and again, I wasn't on a ladder. I was standing on a bed because that's what I do, and my feet catch in the blanket, and I fall off the bed, and I land flat on my back, and I'm like, you know, and I'm sitting there, and she comes running up, and I'm like, what? 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 She goes, oh. See, I flipped. It was dark. A touch can be a powerful thing. Be it a physical one, be it a spiritual one, be it an electrical one. A touch can change your life. And that's what Jesus said. This woman has fought through the crowd to get to him, and this wasn't an easy journey. We're going to get into that a little bit more, and she fights her way through. She presses her way through, and she touches his garment, and she's healed immediately, and Jesus stops, and I love this. He says, "Someone deliberately touched me." This wasn't an accidental thing. This wasn't a, I'm just going to live my life, and if Jesus wants to heal me, fine. Someone deliberately touched me is what he says. See, she wanted to touch him. See, a touch can affect our emotions. A touch can make us feel different about things. A touch can completely change our lives. And so here is this woman who had a problem. That's my first point. There's a person with a problem. I said earlier, if you've got a problem, you're a candidate for a miracle. For 12 years, she had this issue of blood, and Scripture tells us clearly in Leviticus 15, 25, that if a woman had an issue of blood for many days, and not just a normal, natural thing, but for an extended time, 12 years, folks, that she was considered unclean. And according to the law, she would have to stay in her home. You couldn't go out, because if you went out as someone unclean and you bumped into someone else, you now made them unclean. If she was sitting somewhere and got up and moved and you came in and sat in the seat that she was sitting, you were now considered unclean. She couldn't serve her family. She couldn't be around her family. She was kind of set apart, set aside. She was, and it's amazing. It's ironic to me how Jesus is on the way to Jairus' house because his 12-year-old daughter was dying. And later on in the story, you find out she was dead. And here's a woman with an issue of blood for how many years? 12 years. You know, both of them, in essence, were dead. Jairus' daughter physically, the woman with the issue of blood, just emotionally. She was cut off from life, from living. She was cut off from her family, from having friends, from having people over. The law said you are unclean. Stay in your home until you are healed. You read Leviticus 8, and there's all of these laws that were in place for things like this. She wasn't to leave her home. If you sat where she sat, you were considered unclean. If you touched them, you were unclean. They couldn't serve their family. She had to be kept apart, lived around, not embraced. She had been failed by man and all of man's attempts to help her, all of man's attempts to heal her. She, in essence, was a dead woman walking and nothing to look forward to and nothing left. Says in Luke 8, 43, now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. She had been given up on. She was a lost cause, written off. This now, you remember this phrase came out in 2011, this now is your new normal. That was her new normal. She had hoped many times, been disappointed many times. She was out of options. She was out of money. She was in an impossible situation. You ever been disappointed? You ever had moments in your life that you kind of counted on something, hoped in something, and it didn't work out the way you thought? And, you know, we all have. I think if all of us were honest, we could say that. We all have problems. And what I'm about to say may not make you feel better, but it doesn't change the truth of the statement. A problem simply precedes a miracle. A problem simply precedes a miracle. And sometimes we're going through a problem, we don't see a solution, and we've tried everything that we know to do and every option that we can think of. We have tried the way we know to get the problem healed, and it's still not healed, so what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to tell you what we have to do. We have to lift our eyes beyond the problem. We've got to know, and we've got to believe that at the end of me is the beginning of what God can do. We've got to believe, we've got to know that God is going to do a miracle in my life, and he's going to do it in a way that's going to move me into greater intimacy with him and to a deeper walk with him and a greater level of faith with him, because when God shows up, I learn to count and trust even more and more in him. We've got to lift our eyes and we've got to see like Joseph saw and Moses saw and Gideon saw, and you can pick your own Bible character this morning. Pick your favorite. I'm telling you, they experienced miracles, didn't they? All these people had a problem, but on the other side of their problem was victory. And so this woman with the issue of blood, she couldn't really see past the problem. She couldn't see the victory in the moment. I've tried everything. I've done everything. I've been lived around. I've been excluded. I've been rejected, neglected. Every time I try, someone tells me unclean. You don't need to tell me I'm clean. I know I'm unclean. I hear it every day. Maybe this morning you've got a problem and you can't see the victory yet. Maybe this morning you've got a situation in your life and you know what? You say, I know it's there. I know it's been there a long time and I'm trying everything. I've done all I know to do and it hasn't changed. And I guess this is just my new normal. Maybe it's a financial problem or a marriage problem or a child problem. There was something that you did in your past that you did to someone else or someone did to you, and you can't seem to get past it, and you've carried it for years and years. You've lived with guilt. You've lived with shame. You live with kind of embarrassment that it all happened, and so you just kind of want to keep it to yourself and hide yourself. A condemnation, a shame, all that. Listen, all of us have problems. What God wants to do is to set us free from everything binding that comes from our past. She had a problem. We have problems. Number two is simply this. Not only was she a person with a problem, she was a person with a strategy. She was a person with a strategy. She developed a plan. I love this. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe and immediately the bleeding stopped. Now, why did she come from behind? Why didn't she come forward like most folks? Because you read through scriptures, they approach Jesus. They're coming. Hey, Jesus, whoop, over here, I'm coming to you. But that's not the strategy that she had. That's not the way that she approached him. They were in Capernaum, and in Capernaum, the streets there are very narrow. They're very small. When it says in scripture that they pressed him, they thronged him, it means that they were so packed around him that it was like they were smothering him. I have a phrase that I will use when someone is standing too close to me. I just lovingly say, hey, you're breathing my air. And you know, there's a bubble. And the bubble is yours. You ever had somebody stand inside your bubble? Anyone? I'm the only one? All right, they were breathing your air. That air is yours. God gave it to you. All right? And I kind of get the feeling that you know, Jesus is saying people are pressing all around him and they're thronging him. They're just so close to him. And he's saying, someone touch me. And Peter's like, dude, everyone's touching you. This is crazy. But her plan was this. See, if I come from the front, I might be stopped. If I come from the front, she may have been recognized. And someone might say, hey, you can't be here. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sneak up from behind. Because everyone's going to be trying to get in front of him. I'm just going to sneak up from behind, and I'm just going to pick my way through the crowd, and I'll push and touch a little bit, but I'm going to get up there, and if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get up there and just touch Jesus, maybe something will happen. I believe that it can happen. Maybe, you ever thought that maybe she came up from behind because she didn't feel worthy to approach him face on? You ever not felt worthy? I can just get to his garment, and knowing that this man has healed the sick, he's freed the demoniac, he's raised the dead, and if I can just touch him, I know I'm unclean, but maybe I won't be noticed. I can just slip in, touch him, and then I can get lost in the crowd. Matthew 14, 35 and 36 says, when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out to all the surrounding regions, brought to him all who were sick and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly well. So she had a strategy. I'm going to come up from behind. I've heard other people have done this. Other people have touched the hem of his garment, and their lives were forever changed. And so that's my strategy. I'm not going to come straight on because I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving. After 12 years of having someone tell you, you're dirty, you're unclean, you can't be here, you can't go there, you can't do this, you need to go home and stay there till something changes in your life. But I've tried to change things in my life. It doesn't matter. You can't come out until it's done. I'll slip up from behind. I'll touch the hem of his garment. You see, I think this woman heard about Jesus. And I think when she heard about Jesus, I think she began to have hope in Jesus. And as she began to have hope in Jesus, she began to act on that faith that if I get to him, things can change. Matthew 9:21, for she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made. You see, she knew she was unclean, but she had a plan. She slipped up behind him and she touched the hem of his garment. Now, Jesus was a practicing Jew, and so often they would wear, during prayer, they would wear prayer shawls, large ones, bigger ones. But during the day, for the moving around and the goings around, they had smaller ones that they would wear, and they would hang down. At each corner, there would be a tassel that would hang. And many people believe that this was the tassels were kind of, they called them the border. They were the border, and they were to remind people of the word of God, of the law, and of the power of God, the blessings of God. And so I wonder if she thought, you know what? I don't know if he even has time for me because Jairus is somebody. When we read our text, Jairus was, he's one of the local leaders of the synagogue. Jairus is a somebody. I'm not a somebody. I'm kind of a nobody. He's on the way, but you know what? I'm tired of complaining. I'm tired of my life being like this. I'm done blaming everybody else for my situation. I'm going to do something. I've got a problem. I've got a plan. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. You know what one of the root problems of most people in our lives today is this. We try to handle every situation, and the enemy uses that against us. He uses that against us. The enemy will use anything he can to keep you from getting to God. And we have to come to the place that we say this, you know what? I've heard of Jesus. I've heard people testify about Jesus. I know people personally that Jesus has done a miracle in their life. There was provision. There was breakthrough. He got them through tough times that I don't know if I could have gotten through a time like they got through, but he got them through that. I've heard of Jesus, and you know what? I'm going to quit whining about my situation. I'm going to quit complaining about my situation. I'm going to quit blaming everybody else for my situation, and I'm going to get on my feet. I'm going to walk in my faith. I'm going to press through the crowd, and I'm going to touch the hem of his garment because I believe that one touch can make a change. You see, we have to make a plan to press in. She was a woman, a person with a problem. She was a person with a strategy. And then finally this morning, she found a person with a solution. She found a person with a solution. Luke 8, 45 and 46, Jesus says, "Who touched me?" He just stops the whole parade, folks. He stops everything. That blows my mind. A local leader of the synagogue, "Come help my daughter. She's dying. Jesus is on the way." Everyone is with him to watch what he's going to do over there. And Jesus feels power go out, and he stops the whole train. "Who touched me?" Everybody denies. Peter says, "Master, everyone has touched you." So I wonder if everyone was healed, but Scripture doesn't say that there. It says she was. But Jesus said, and I love this, you need to underline this, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." You see, she had a plan. She pressed through to him, and she touched the hem of his garment. Do you realize that Jesus didn't ask her if she wanted to be healed? He's heading towards Jairus' house, but the power was there. She touched the hem of his garment, and power moved. There are two words for power: power, authority, kind of a thing. Exousia, which is power that is given or commissioned. And that should sound familiar to us as believers. Because Jesus says, "I have all power, all authority," and he commissions us as the followers of Christ to go out into all the world. We have power over the sick. We have authority over the demoniacs. We have all of these things. God has in turn given us authority. Now, when I lived in Maryland, sometimes you'd go down on the Beltway. And I have a great deal of respect for all of our policemen. But Maryland cops are special. And you may have seen this if you have ever driven down through there. I can remember going down the road, and a cop would just be pulled off the side of the road with a gun, and he's shooting at people. No, he's not. He's got the radar gun, and he'll catch someone speeding, and people fly. He walks out in the lane. And people will slow down and pull over and take out their license and registration. That's power. That's commissioned power. God has commissioned us and given us power that when we see situations in our lives that we do not like, that we don't think are what God truly desires, that we can step into it and say, "Hey, devil, get your license and registration." All right? So there's exousia. There's that power. But then out of the authority comes dunamis power, which is God's power, miraculous power. It's where we get the word dynamite from, or dynamo from. When God shows up and God does what only he can do. Jesus had both. Jesus has given us both power and authority. When he came with authority and the power to set us free. And this woman got healed with an intentional touch because she pressed into him and she touched the power. She had a problem. She had a strategy, and she said, I'm going after God. Listen, you need to understand something. Jesus doesn't just want you to be healed. He wants you to be whole. Matthew 9:21, if I may only touch his garment, I'll be made well. The word well there in the Greek has several different meanings. It means to be saved. It means to be protected. It means to be covered. But I love this definition of the word sozo. That's the word there. To become whole. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Be made whole from what? Just the blood drying up? What if she was made whole from 12 years of neglect? What if she was made whole from being left out, from being alone, from being told every day of her life, you're unclean, don't touch me, you can't come near us, you can't be near your family, you can't be near your kids. Why are you out? Get back into your house and pray for a quick death, because your situation is not going to change. Jesus said, I don't want to just heal you. I want to make you whole. All the damage done was restored physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally in this woman's life. He doesn't just want to heal you. He wants to make you whole. She had a problem. She had a strategy. She knew that he healed. She knew that he had power. And so she determined in her life to not give up. She pushed, she pulled, she fought through the crowd that was there to watch. But you know what? Other people were bumping him, and Jesus never said a word. She touches him. He stops the whole train and says, someone just touched me deliberately because I felt power go out. What was the difference? The crowd was there to watch. She was there to receive. I'm going to tell you something. If you ever find yourself in a church, you're saying, I just don't know. Maybe I don't know. Listen, you need to make sure you're showing up at church to receive and not just showing up at church to watch. She touched him and power went out. He turned around and he said, who touched me? And at first she didn't say anything. And you know why I think she didn't say anything? Even though she felt something happened, something changed. I think the enemy comes and gets in her ear in a moment like that and says, do you know what you've done? He's a rabbi. You're unclean. You just touched him. You've made him unclean. You've hoped before and been disappointed. You've hoped so many times and been let down. Don't say anything. Just stay hidden. It probably didn't happen. It's probably just a figment of your imagination. Do you know who you are? You're not even supposed to be here. You're not worthy to touch him. He tried to steal, kill, and destroy what God had just done. But I love her faith. At first, no one says anything because I think she was arguing with the enemy. And then she says, it was me. It was me. And I love it. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. He didn't say your faith has made you healed. He said whole. And whole included the healing. That includes the emotions, that includes the mental aspects of things, that includes the wounds of our past, the baggage that we carry, and includes every single thing in your life that has kept you from God or held you back from God or tripped you up in trying to follow God. When you can touch the hem of his garment and you're there to receive because you've said, you know what, I got a problem, I've got a strategy, my strategy is this, I'm going after Jesus and I'm not going to give up. I promise you will find someone with a solution, and his name is Jesus. And the devil will try to trip you. The devil will try to stop you, but don't let the crowd hold you back. They're there to watch. You're there to receive. And if you can get to him and touch the hem of his garment, I'm telling you, a touch changes everything.